Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Bless you, buddy. How do you want to see him? To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. He's worthy, isn't he?
High and lifted up,
shining in the light of your glory. Power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Amen. I want to see him, don't you?
Hallelujah.
And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures. Turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1 and 1 Peter 1. Ephesians 1, 1 Peter 1. We want to thank everybody again for all that you've done, for the doing with the fellowship meeting, the fixing of the food and everything. It was really great and had a good time, and we just really thank you for all you've done and all of the work and the things like that, because that was, the largest fellowship meeting that we've probably had. That one in Gainesville might have been bigger years ago, but I don't really know. But there was upwards of at least 160 people. So that was really, really good. And I really appreciate all of you doing the work, because it was marvelous. You took care of everything and got it all done. And we appreciate it. Amen. Ephesians 1 and 1 Peter 1. I hope you enjoyed Brother Forney for the weekend and had a good time in fellowship and all with him. Amen. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love unto us. We thank you for the day, the hour that we're living, the time that we have upon earth. And we pray that you would just, Lord, open truly our eyes of understanding, that we may see you as you are revealed to us through thy word. And Lord, forgive our sins, because we want to be clean and to be there to where that, Lord, you can come to us when you desire to. And we know that, Lord, it's not on our goodness that brings you, but it's because you promised it. And that, Lord, is the greatest thing we could think of, that our Lord and Savior would promise to come and dwell not only just with us, but in us, and manifest yourself. We thank you. And we commit it all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, whereat now in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. Now let's go to 1 Peter 1, verse 22 and 23. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned, that means white hot. In other words, the best you can do, clean it up and everything. Unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we have been on this, on adoption. You know, this is message number 7, but it's adoption in 3 stages. We're trying to get a better understanding. And you know, That's the hour I believe that we're here, that this is the time. I don't believe it's the prophet gave it in the message manifested Sons of God. He said, where are my brethren, where are my sisters outside of this time? Was it ever promised for the manifestation of the sons and daughters, you know, of the living God to be made manifest? All right, see, and we know that Romans tells us that the whole world is groaning, waiting for you and I. Right? See, and you say, well, let's just get on with it. Well, we can't do it until God comes down to quicken the thing. It can't be done. But we're trying to get an understanding to where, you know, that we're just not like the world, and I don't mean the natural world. I'm talking about the religious world of the misunderstanding and doing like that. But we try to get into the Word and believe the Word and just move on in the Word, because that's all I know to do. See, this is the hour. This is the time. Not that they wasn't manifested sons and daughters of God. Listen, get the point and read it and listen to the prophet. They were manifested sons and daughters for their age. Everybody understand what I'm saying? For their age. All right. See, the book of Acts, they were sons and daughters of God. They had the faith of the fathers. But they did not have the headstone to come and bring the message to them, you know. But still, they were, for their day and their hour, they were God's manifestation upon the earth. Yeah. See, we're just trying to get into it to bring it for this age. All right? And recognizing, and that's the main thing I've been trying to get, see, is to recognize in your day and its message. Now, we recognize the prophet. We recognize the message of the hour. We recognize those things. But do we recognize our day? And I've been over that and over that, that the prophet said, you know, that there was a word for every age. All right? It's the word that comes predestinated eternally. It's not the person. See, it's the word. Now, what we got to do in this day, though, for it to wind up is what? Wind up for that person and that word to unite together. All right? Now, that's what I believe will bring about a rapture, a change of things, is when, you know, you and I become the Word that, you know, and you can say, well, we know this doctrine of one God. We know the doctrine of this. Knowing a doctrine and knowing the God of that message is two different things. All right? See, you can know the quotes. You can know, you know, all the things. But if it's not revealed, all right? And if there's one thing, now listen, this is what I've been trying to get you to see. If there's just one word to be revealed, the rapture can't come. Because that's what's holding off the rapture. It's not just time and elements and people and whatever. It's the revealing of God's word. All right? So then we shouldn't be concerned about, you know, the point of we've been here all of this time. We should be concerned with the fact that whether or not has God been able to reveal His Word. Have we turned down the revelation? You know, because it didn't come our way, our thoughts. I was just reading back there a while ago on some things Brother Random was saying, that everybody's got it figured out their way.
That's it, right there.
See?
Amen.
All right? And I would say, and wouldn't back off of it, probably here in the building, you would find it's basically everybody's got a little different thought about what things are, or to expect, or what to be.
Amen.
You know, we may have the overall view as one thing, see, but yet we would have our different ways of looking at things, and that's no problem as long as we don't turn down the revealed word.
Right.
See? Turning down the letter of the word is one thing, but turning down the word when it's revealed.
Right.
Now, that's another thing.
Right.
See, when it's made revealed unto us. All right. But see, we've been talking about manifestation. And as I said, most people think manifestation is signs and wonders. You know, miracles taking place and all like that. And that's wonderful. That is manifestation. That's something the word there means that. But the prophet of God, what did he say? He said, what is manifestation? A manifested sons of God, preached 1965-18. He said, what is manifestation? He said, make it known.
Right.
Make it known.
Right.
All right. See, then I've tried my best to get you to see one thing, that signs follow them that believe.
Amen.
We don't follow signs. If we did, we'd better get out of here and go somewhere else, because there's probably a lot more on some of these other churches going on than what would happen here tonight, maybe.
Right.
See? Because that's just the way that it's being done. And to me now, I don't have any problems with that. It wouldn't change me none whatsoever if ever church in the world was having signs and wonders and we didn't have any at all. That's not going to change me about what I believe. I want you to know that up front. What I believe, I stand on. Because what else can you stand on? Signs and wonders? Brother Branham's done told you. He said even the gifts and the things that was in his life was not to be done that way. We were supposed to believe the word without having to have signs and wonders. But God is so gracious, see, rich in mercy, that he would give the signs and wonders to try to attract our attention to what? To the word. See? And like I've told you over and over, then people will say, well, you can trust Brother Branham while he's the discernments and the things like that. He's praying for the sick. But said, now, watch him when he starts preaching, you know. Well, now, isn't that something?
Right.
I mean, to me, that's so carnal until I can't conceive the idea of that.
Right.
See? But if we see signs and wonders, are we supposed to go after the signs and wonders? Or are we supposed to go after the word and expect signs and wonders to follow the word? Which way is it?
That's right.
All right. See, that's all I've ever been.
Right.
See, people say, well, Brother Dale, you don't believe in signs and wonders. You're messed up in your mentality is the best way for me to say it. Because I believe in signs and wonders more than you. I can talk to you about it if you want to talk about it. See? Because I believe it. But I believe the word first. That's the way it comes to me. It's got to come word first, and then signs will follow. All right? And see, then that then is what? If we make him known by the preaching of the gospel, by talking to people, fellowshipping, you know, out in the world, talking to people, and you witnessing to people, you know, and things like that. See, you're making your Father known. Maybe you never thought of it like that until, you know, you started thinking about manifestation, but that's what it is. You're making him known.
Right.
Well, he's going to make you known.
That's right.
He's going to make you known, but my prayer is always this. Lord, open your word.
Right.
See? I've tried my best for all these 40 years, coming up, you know, pretty quick, to make him known, even here in this building, you know, to make him known. See? All right. I believe that he's made us known.
Amen.
You say, well, I'd like to say, well, I would too. But I'm satisfied with what he's doing.
Amen.
I'll get down to that in a minute, you know, and we'll just see what's the great deception in the last days. All right? But just follow with me now and we'll find it. See? We covered, see, as I said now, what is manifestation? Making known. We make him known, he makes us known. All right? Now, it's not that he's making us known and then we make him known. No, that's reverse. See? We must make him known and then he can make us known. See? We've got to be secondary in the point to where that we are the part. So that way, see, signs follow them that believe. See? We don't have to have signs and wonders to believe God's word. Do you? I mean, do you got to have signs and wonders before you can believe what God said? Now, you show me in the Bible any sign that ever happened before the word was spoken. I mean, you know, show me in the Bible. You say, well, Abraham, right, well, I'm glad you said that. Because God spoke to him out of his word. Then signs and wonders took place. Right? See, it's always been the word first. And then signs following the word. Because that's the only thing I can check it by. See, that I can't check the signs and things by other signs.
Right.
Well, we got more signs than you got. That's about like it was when Josh and them was playing. He was playing in the band up there, and their football team wasn't too good. But he said, there's one thing about it. Our band will beat your band any day. Yeah. But that, see, let's just don't get into the wrong thing with it. See? Signs follow them that believe. All right? But yet, to be able to see, we must recognize our day and its message. See, we take the point, we recognize the prophet, as I said a moment ago. We recognize the message. But do we recognize that if we recognize the message and the prophet, then we've got to see ourselves. Because he didn't come to speak of himself. See? He came to speak of a word-born bride. He didn't say he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, as I gave you there the other day. But he said the bride would be. All right. See? And even saying that the Godhead's not complete without me and you? All right. But see, we declare the message. And we declare the messenger. Thank God, we believe it. But what about the message that's brought? See, Martin Luther, he couldn't, if he'd have been the only one that was protesting the Catholic Church, why, they'd have blowed him off and said, forget it, right? They wouldn't have been concerned. But when the message he began to bring began to develop in the hearts of the people, right? And they started protesting. It wasn't just him protesting it. It's when the message come forth. The people began to protest the Catholic Church. Then they got concerned. They started losing converts in a hurry. And then Brother Branham, what did he say? He said, when that bride begins to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things he said, the shuck will pull away. All right? Well, why don't we get on with recognizing who we are?
Amen.
Well, Brother Dale, what do you mean? I'm in the bride. That's not recognizing it. You know. That's not the point I'm talking about recognizing. I'm talking about recognizing yourself in the Word. Find the message for this day. Now, what did we preach back months and months ago? That the book of Revelation shows the bride. Never shows Jesus Christ by himself. Always with his bride. Or someone like the Jews or whatever. He's not shown by himself. But now listen. But there's a word for each age, and that word must be made manifest. Why? Because it's a predestinated seed. See? The word is predestinated eternally. Well, whether you and I like it or not, we ain't going to change what this is.
Right.
See, the way we've done and the reason we're here 40-something years after the prophets went off the scene is why? Because that we haven't recognized ourselves and seen what's going on. Now listen, we'll get down to it just in a second. Well, let's go ahead and just cover. Brother Branham said, you believe him? God in Simplicity, 1963, 317. God will hide himself in something so simple that'll cause the wise to miss it a million miles and then turn right back around in that some simple thing in the simplicity of his way of working and reveal himself right out again. Now listen. He said, I thought, it maybe take a text on this, you know, before we get to the teaching of the great teaching of the seven seals. Many miss him by the way he reveals himself. Now here's the great mix-up. It's always been. Here's the greatest mix-up of all things. You say denominationalism, you say this ism, that ism, we're afraid of this, we're afraid of that. Now here's what I'm afraid of. Because here's what he said. All right, listen. Many miss him by the way he reveals himself. Now man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. And as I have made the old statement many times, that man still remains man. Now listen to me. Man is always giving God praise for what he did do, and always looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he's doing. See? Now, there's the greatest denominational mix-up that's ever been. See, the people today, you know, if we're back there. If we was back there. They don't even know that's exactly Scripture, because when they was facing, you know, they said, if we'd have been back there, right? That's man, and that's his ways of doing, all right? Listen, he goes on to say, that's the way they miss it. They look back and see what a great thing he'd done, but they just fail to see what a simple thing he used to do it with. And then they look forward and see a great thing coming that's going to happen, and 9 times out of 10, now listen to him, that's pretty good average, right? 9 times out of 10. It's already happening right around them, and it's so simple that they don't see it. Right. Now, on the message identified Christ of all ages, 64:401, he said, man is always praising God for what he done, always looking forward for what he will do, and ignoring what he's doing. All right. Now, there's the thing that Brother Dale's afraid of. Organized religion? No. Denominationalism? No. We ought to be already above all of that. If you're concerned about whether or not you can be deceived by doctrines that are flying around the land, then I'm telling you up front, you're already deceived. See? Because that's the deception. Right? Why can't you trust the Holy Spirit? The only problem is if you have it. Because it's never allowed me to go into those things. And yet I studied the doctrines that they would bring. Because I wanted to see what they were talking about.
Exactly right.
I studied them. But once I seen what it was, then forget it. You know. I mean, it didn't take me 6 months. I didn't do it that way. I was just seeing what they were saying. Then drop it and forget it. See, because once I seen it was not in the Word. And everyone that I ever watched like that, it was always pointing, now watch this and you'll see it, it was always pointing forward. Right? Because the ones that started the doctrines didn't look backward. Now here's the biggest portion of the group of the message people are looking backward to what Brother Branham done. And what he done and what took place. Alright? Now, but these doctrines, they don't look back to Brother Branham, right? Because they don't base it on what he said. Oh yeah, they take quote, but they won't take it all. So they're looking forward. In other words, you know what they're looking for. The two soul people, you know, they had it down and they taught it. You got to come to them. You got to come to them. They tell you what it is. They'll tell you where the changes are at. The seventh under virtue people. See? They'll tell you whether you got it or not. You got to come to them. Well, that's future, right? See, so the great thing is to either look, you're either looking backward or you're looking forward and failing to see what's going on. See? Yeah, but I just don't see much going on. Well, then open your eyes. What would you see if you were heading down the ramp going towards the lion's den? Oh, glory, hallelujah, we're going to die today. Lord, I don't think so. I'm sorry. Now, when it got down where the lion was at, it might have struck. Because them lions a lot of times wouldn't even hurt them, and they had to probe the lions to get them to come after them. But just get my point. It wasn't glory, we're going to die. No. No, it's, but see, people, we're not recognizing what's taking place. Well, if y'all had what y'all believe, we'd have more signs and wonders. How can God tutor his children? That's my whole point. See? We need rain now. Pray for rain.
That's
right. But if it's a monsoon season, we don't need rain. We need for it to stop. So get your story correct. Yeah. See, looking back, look what God done through the prophet. Looking forward, look what one of these days, now one of these days is going to be a great thing. Well, now let me just put it this way, and I'll be as blunt as I can so you're listening. Looking back will not bring you to adoption. Looking forward will not bring you to adoption. You'll only come there by recognizing your day and its message. Recognizing where we're at right now. You'll never do it by looking forward. There is things to come. Amen. We believe in that. There have been things took place. Amen. We believe in that. But see, the greatest day that's ever been in the world. Now, I thought your prophet taught these things. I thought the Bible said that the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I thought the prophet taught that in how many messages, how many are there, hear ye him? Let alone all the others were there. That he was talking about that the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of a living God. See? World's not waiting on it to come to an end. World's not waiting on great earthquakes and stuff like that. The world's waiting to see manifested sons and daughters of God. They saw it for a little time there in the prophet, because there he would stand and speak. He'd speak to squirrels and, you know, into existence. He would speak to the bull, and he would speak to the hornets and things like that. They saw their master. The trees, the people, the animals, they saw their master for a moment. But he said, what you've seen in part, you'll see in its fullness. But if we don't know what to look for, see? That's my whole point now. Here, this is all that's on my mind for tonight, all right? That all I've ever watched of people in the rapture form of speaking it, or whether they was talking about adoption or whatever, it's they're waiting for something to happen. One of these days, we're going to speak the word. One of these days, we're going to do this. It's always in the future. Well, you know, that's easy to do, isn't it? You know, like I always say, you know, you talk to people about, they talk to you, I'll talk to somebody and they'll start telling you, oh, we're here in the end time. We're in the end of the world. Oh, it's bad, isn't it? You start giving really scriptures real quick, and then they'll say, but now wait just a minute. Now, where nobody knows the day nor the hour. See, they start backpedaling when they were the ones bringing it to you. But you see, church, people are looking at adoption as a Mount of Transfiguration experience. All right? I know. I've preached it to you. Your new birth is not your adoption. Your adoption will be a Mount of Transfiguration experience. All right? Now, we believe that, because that's the way the prophet taught it. But he also taught it in three stages, and so did Paul in Romans. See? All right? He taught it like Paul as an identification there on the River Jordan. All right? Then a Mount of Transfiguration coming to a recognition. All right? And then go on to the change. All right? Now, let me put it this way and you think about it. The biggest portion of Brother Branham's message would not be dealing with what has been. The biggest portion of his message is not dealing with what will be. Now, you understand what I said. He brought those things, all right? But the biggest portion to me of the message is trying to point to where you and I are at to get us to see who we are. That to me is the most important thing that could ever be thought of. See? And the biggest denominational mix-up is to look back and say, look what they had. And look forward, one of these days, we're going to get it. And failing to see what's going on. You know, your prophet said it like this one day. He said, the same Holy Ghost that justified the Lutheran, sanctified the Methodist, baptized the Pentecostal, now sitting in order to coming of the Lord. You know, it's the same Holy Ghost that was back there that caused those people to walk into a lion's den. He said it's the same Holy Ghost you live daily in the basis to where that you can overcome by that Holy Spirit. But yeah, we want to make something big out of this and something big over here instead of seeing what's going on. But Brother David, yeah, I'm looking forward to many things. There's many things your prophet spoke of that I look forward to. See? Even to drastic, horrible things that he said. California going under, etc. Earthquakes in diverse places. But see, we're seeing it work now. Around the world. He said, after a series of earthquakes, California would go under. See? All right. But see, our point is always, California goes under. Glory, we're here. 77. Glory, we're here. We're here. Yeah, we're still here. See? But instead of dying in 77, or as a man told me, he planted trees where you get that spirit off of him. I didn't know that planting trees would get a spirit off of you. I thought repenting did. I know what the man said. He said, I had the idea we was going out of here. Now I'm planting trees where they can grow up and I can watch them grow. Huh. But we don't need that. But now listen. What is going on now is the most important thing that has ever been.
Amen.
See? What has been going on since the prophet left the scene is the most important thing in the Bible, because it's what the Bible was looking for. It's the finality. It's the climax. It's the last act of the play. It's whatever you want to bring up to talk about. It's the end of all things. See? All right. But see, always looking back or looking forward and not seeing what's going on now. That, to me, as I said, is the worst denominational mix-up that's ever been. See? But you see, church, I want to think about your adoption, and I told you, now listen, I'll say it again where you can understand me. I know what the prophet said, your new birth is not your adoption. Your adoption is a Mount of Transfiguration experience, which is really, that even is not the adoption, that is the change of the body would bring you to the completion, right? All right, but there must be a Mount of Transfiguration experience in the bride. All right. See, your new birth is the spirit of adoption, right? Romans 8:14. The spirit of adoption. All right. See, then we've been in the process of adoption. Yeah. I've tried my best to get you to see that, because if the Holy Ghost is our tutor, and that's what the prophet said it was, and according to the Bible it is, all right? Then if that be true, see, then something has been going on. For 40-something years, something has been going on in those that would walk in the light. Because you've never heard me get negative about the hour that we're living in.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. course, the brother told me one time, he said, oh, you're just a good old Baptist. See, because a good old Baptist, he just kind of looks at everything plain, blunt, and he just says, well, okay, you know. But whatever it is, I'm still here, and I still believe what I did in the Lives to the 60s about adoption. I told them then, they said, one day we're going to speak the word. I said, you've got to have it before you can speak it. Well, of course, we've got it. We got the books and the tapes. Well, we had the Bible. Why didn't we do something with that? But you see, see, don't miss what's been going on. See? Don't fail to see that. See, people, you know what? I gave you the quotes, Brother Brown, saying Pentecostal people thinks that when they got the new birth, that was all of it. They got it. That's good Baptist. Just moved up a step. They shouted and spoke in tongues. Us Baptists said we got everything when we believed. Well, we spend a lot of time saying that ain't right. Huh? And we spend a lot of time saying, well, them Pentecostals now. But what about the Pentecostals of this message? Right. And that don't mean you got to be a Pentecostal denomination and come out of it to be one or whatever. I ain't even talking about it. I'm talking about what your prophet was talking about when I gave you the quotes. I'm talking about people that think, look what was back there. Look what was back there. And we got it. Because we believe it. I can tell you all about the Eiffel Tower, however you pronounce that. Well, you ever been there? No. You ever seen it? No. Well, you don't know where it's leaning right or left. Right? You understand what I've tried to make a point with that? See? Brother Dick's been on the Brooklyn Bridge. He can tell me all about the Brooklyn Bridge. But I don't know a thing about the Brooklyn Bridge. I don't know whether it's going north, south, east, or west, or how it's turned. Do you? Because I've never been there and seen it. But because they're saying what somebody else says. Now, does that ring a bell? That no man can call Jesus a Christ by what somebody else says? Is that scripture? You must have your own experience. All right. But you see, we say, we've got the new birth, Brother Dale. We got everything. No, we didn't. I told you, I talked to two men. One of them said he had got everything when he believed. In other words, he said, when I was born again, I was adopted. I was everything. The other one on the other side of the table said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't agree with you. He said, because you ain't got nothing yet. I said, well, brothers, if you forgive me for being this, but I'm just somewhere right in between you two. And I was. I was kind of sitting, they were not like it. I said, I'm just somewhere kind of in between here because, you know, I believe that I have the new birth. Exactly like, and they didn't like it, but they knew Brother Random made the quote. I said, Brother Random said he met people with the Holy Ghost 50 years they got it before he come on the scene. He said exactly like the book of Acts. Both of them said they didn't believe that. Well, they said they couldn't understand it. But they didn't want to sit and listen to me explain there was a difference in the upper room experience and the 3,000 later they only heard one message. But you know what? They all got the new birth. But you see, all right? But that's one side of it. Oh, we got the new birth. We got everything. The other side of it, one of these days, it's coming. It's coming. One of these days. One of these days. All right? Now, that's a denominational mix-up. And the most dangerous one it could be. Now, let's get into what we're talking about. Yeah. We talk about adoption as a person that was born in the family, and according to Galatians, about 4 then, he's no different than a servant because he's a child. Right? And we talk of that as Galatians brought it, that he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed. Right. Now, what I think most people are saying, and if I'm saying what you're saying, then I'm sorry, I'm just trying my best to say it. Okay? To where it'll catch you and me. But see, how many have ever even thought about it? We know the quotes, the Holy Spirit is our tutor. Holy Spirit is our tutor. We had to quote. But how many of you ever thought about it until I started bringing it out? I'm just saying it honest now. Go watch, do what you want to about it. But how many of you thought about that the Holy Spirit and the Father is a self-same Spirit? And then the tutor can't be a different Holy Ghost from the Father that's dwelling within you. Had you put it together that way? See, that's what we're for. That's our job, okay? The Lord speaks and we just go on and do and try our best to help. See? All right, then if the Holy Spirit and the Father is the self-same Spirit, if not, then Jesus had two daddies. Right? I'm quoting Brother Branham now. All right? But you see, then it would have to be the Holy Spirit, would have to be the Spirit of the Father coming and dwelling. The natural story is not like that. The natural story, the Father hires somebody else to do the tutoring, right? That's just the story. See? And I'm sure that every one of, which one was it, Joseph's daddy and all, Jacob? Every one of them kids was probably adopted when they reached their, somebody pronounce it, bar mitzvah. I done it. I finally got it. All right. You know, it's when a child gets of a certain age, then they have this thing that happens and they bring them out and they're come into manhood. And it's not a play thing. Wade brought it out here one time and I really enjoyed it because I really didn't know all about those things myself. And he was bringing out how that child has to know all of them. There's certain things of the Bible that he had to know to be able to talk and tell about it, or he wasn't brought to the position. It wasn't just a little kid and he grows up and he gets up pretty good size and he's able to shoot a bow. Oh, that's my boy. But you know what? Now, if we change the story and get it correct, the natural story, they hired somebody else to tutor. Right? The spiritual story is the Father coming and living in you in the form of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to make sure that we come out to the correct child. Right? See, the natural story, you can only use a natural story as a type. As I said, probably Jacob adopted every one of them, but Joseph was the one of his heart that got the coat of many colors. But every one of them probably went through their day and their time of being brought into the family. Because that was the natural story. All right? But you see, it's not God hiring somebody else to raise his children in the spiritual kingdom. God comes down himself to dwell in us. To bring us his nature and his doing. Right? See, then listen to what I'm saying. Your adoption is going on. That's why I'm trying to bring it in three stages, see? Recognition when you're born into the family by the new birth. Then growth development down through the stature of a perfect man and the things. And then one day, the change of the body. But it's really not even to that. Because to show you that it stops into the manifestation, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says to understand the redemption of the body. That's not the change of the body. It's not the adoption. It's to understand the adoption. To how it's going to take place. And then it's got to take place. If we understand how it'll take place. But you see, the tutor in the natural, he's going out, making sure he's supplying everything the child needs, and he's going back every once in a while, and he says, Father, he's doing good. He's acting like you, you know. He's doing pretty good. But see, in this situation, the Holy Spirit is reporting to the Father. Oh, that's Trinitarianism. Well, then if you realize the Holy Spirit and the Father is the same Spirit, you're not.
That's right.
You're back to the truth.
Amen.
See, my point is, God is not waiting for you and I to come down there to Mount of Transfiguration to be able to show us. That's a part that is in the story. He's doing that now because we're making Him known. That's what I've been doing for 40 years, in making my Father known. Well, He didn't have to do anything because He knows what I'm saying is true. I never asked Him to give a sign. I've asked Him about something to show me, but not a sign of whether the word was right or not. I've asked Him natural or something spiritual in extent, but I've never asked Him to give me a sign to tell me the word was right. What do I need that for? I've got His word. I want Him to reveal it to me. I've got the letter of the word. This prophet's message is the letter of the word. That's why I've been so long in all these years of taking the things like Daniel 70 weeks and the seals and all those things and spending lengthy times on them to try to make my Father known. See? Well, He's given us enough signs and wonders. See? But you see, I'm not looking back and I'm not looking forward. I live in a present tense. I'd hate to be like the guy, you know, that fictional story, but he got a newspaper a day ahead of time. Oh, he could bet on anything, he could buy anything, he could make money just rolling like everything. But one day he read the obituary and found out he died the day before. That's not a joke, it's just to tell you.
Right.
I'm not looking back, I'm not looking forward. I don't play the lotteries and the things. Like the brother said, you know, play the lottery. Make sure you pay your tithe. Don't bring tithe out of that. I won't take tithe out of a whore or out of lotteries and things. Don't bring it to me. I don't want it. Why? Because it's not good money. And I've been blunt about the things there, and I've expressed it to you about it. Somebody gives you something, that's not it. But when you take a gamble, it's when you're putting down something on your own. It ain't a gamble when somebody walks up to you and hands you something and gives you to. That's not gambling. It's when you put down the money trying to bet on it or making, you know, that's gambling. We don't agree with it. But now listen. The Father has been tutoring His children from birth upward. Whereas in the natural story, the tutor was tutoring the children. But you know, the Father wasn't sitting back. I mean, what do you think the story is? Let me express the natural story of what most people seem like in their mind about they can explain the tutor, they can explain the razor and everything. And it's just like that the father, he gets the baby, you know, and the baby, now we just go on a little bit, you know, maybe make it 3 or 4 years old before you ever start much, you know. But all at once, the father, he just hands the baby over to the tutor, and then he leaves the country. Is that what you think adoption? Is that what you think that the tutor and the things was doing? Don't you realize that child, and that's why the scripture says, he's no different than a servant. And the servants eat at the master's table. You mean the tutor feeds the baby? The tutor raises it? He gives it. See? You say, well, what are you making that carnal for? Because of the carnality of our mind. See? You mean the child is not allowed to go to the table? You know, eat with the family? And they supply him everything he has need of? Who? The father. You don't throw the baby out. He's there with the child, hip and raise it, even in the natural, right? Well, what about in the spiritual? When the spirit of the very tutor himself, the very God himself, can come back and dwell in you and I to be able to start us up the stature of a perfect man. And then that doesn't make no difference, because when we're born again, it don't matter what age you are. You know, you could be born again at 10, or you could be born again at 100. What would be the difference? It's still a babe in Christ. Huh? Desiring the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. As Peter said, what? Being born again. Let's see, Peter gave two of them. I wrote it down somewhere in the notes. I'll find it in a minute. But it's being born again, growing in grace and knowledge. Yeah. All right. The Father is not gone somewhere else. See, that's what everybody's saying. The Father goes off the scene, the tutor raises the child. That's all I've ever heard. But see, to me, in the spiritual application, the Father is coming on the scene in the child. That's what He did in Jesus, wasn't it?
Right. Amen.
He came on the scene in so much in Jesus until Jesus was Almighty God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Right.
Well, why can't we believe what He's done for us?
Right.
He gave us the new birth.
Amen.
Then He starts feeding us. Yes. Sure, maybe some tongue milk. Yeah. But yet growing in that to where that the Father is supplying everything that we have need of. But you know, He gives it to us when He wants to, because He's a good Father, right, Brother Gary? He's a good Father. He didn't catch that because he's still asleep. Punch him. Hey, Brother Gary, I'm using you as an example. Okay? See it? It's not that the Father's gone.
That's right.
The Father is there feeding
Amen.
You.
Amen.
All the way through your spiritual journey.
Amen.
From the new birth until the day the redemption of the body will come.
Amen.
It's the Father inside of you and I preparing us. What do you do with your children? They're going to be about 12 years old. You throw them the keys. So go try the car. Go take the car and drive it. No? What do you do? 3 or 4 or 5 years old. What? Hey, that's the brakes. That's the gas. This is the steering wheel. Here's the gears. You surely don't do like Papa used to do Matthew either. Because he had an old lawnmower. And Matthew, you know, he could do anything in the world. I've seen him, he'd drive boards right down through the middle of the floor. And I ain't kidding you. Right down through the carpet. He would nail boards to the middle of the floor, and old Papa would just sat there and grin. Just go get him the nails. You know, he didn't care. But they'd get out on the lawnmower, and he'd crank that lawnmower up, and they had a little old wagon thing on the back of it. And old Papa would sit back there in that wagon. He just turned Matthew loose. He'd run over the flowers. He'd run over the neighbors. He'd run over the cats, the dogs. He'd run over everything in the world. And old Papa just sitting there. Well, now, God don't do us that way. But still, He don't wait. You start telling your children, right? You're telling them table manners, right? Of course, that's generally gone now, but table manners, you know, to do, you know, to be polite. See? I like to see kids like Zach back there, you know, as yes sir, no sir. Yes sir, no sir. Well, I like to see kids do like that. You know that women get offended at me when I'll say, yes ma'am. I'm not your mama. No, but I'm recognizing you as a lady. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Why? See? The nature of the Father is being instilled all the way through your Christian journey. The stature of a perfect man is showing that. You don't just start off down here and say, "Where you?" Well, I jumped up here, you know, because then that's what people say now. People say this is a doctrine that I'm right here. Where it says brotherly kindness, lady will see an age, because that's the age I was born in. Well, what does it matter about that?
You got to get the new birth.
Amen.
You got to start. What all through our Christian journey has been a growth development.
Right.
See, I've taught you over and over. It's through the revealing of the Word. And you sit and listening sometimes, right? And you're hearing somebody, I may be preaching on the seals, and I'm really just going through the seals right down the line, and you're sitting there and God reveals something to you about one God.
Right.
Marriage and divorce, something click.
Right?
Right? Not even what I'm talking about.
Right.
Well, you know what I done? My job. The prophet said, all I'm supposed to do is break the spell Satan has over your eyes where God can speak straight to you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We're looking out there to a transfiguration. You know. Oh, one of these days he'll take us out there and oh, he'll speak the word. Yeah. But you don't take a child out and give them the keys to the car. But when they get 10, 11, 12 years old, you start letting them do little things. Right? Learned to drive in the backyard. I had a big old backyard, and I'd just take my brother's car and just pull up and back and up and back and back. First time I decided to drive up there, and it's that little building, the little house right straight across where you come out of the driveway from the house. That used to be a store. I drove up there, and there's a great big old road there and a great big parking area and a great big road that goes over to the house. And I pull in there and I get what I'm going and I back out and I look, see if there's anything coming. I back out. I wound up in the ditch over on the other side in the garden. Yeah, of course, you know, all that place to turn around in, and I back clean out of the road over on the other side into the ditch. I didn't know how to drive. Oh boy, I got my license. I never will forget that. Every time I go through there, I think about it. I had an old 50 Mercury. And I went around this curve, and it's going from my house toward Danny's over there, and I went around this curve, and I remember, boy, I was sitting there just like he's holding that thing so tight, I can see it now. And I just, by the grace of God, I finally made it around. Because I didn't want to go, I knew better than to turn real quick, and I didn't turn enough, and I'm going around the curve, and I'm off the road by the time I finish the curve up, you know. Because I didn't know how to drive. Mary, you think you know all about it, don't you? You and Hopi. Right? Yeah. When you get to be about 60, you'll learn how to drive. Then you're too old to know anything about it. Right. But you understand now the point I'm trying to make. Everybody get the point. I'm trying to make a point, right? And my point is one thing. We don't look back. We don't look forward. I thought we believed that I am meant ever present for eternity. I thought that's what the definition the prophet gave of I am. See, there's no yesterday with tomorrow, with God, and there's no tomorrow. Everything's present tense. He's not over there. He's right here living with us. And that's been the Father down through our life from the day we were birthed as a baby in the spiritual kingdom. We started our adoption. The tutor came on the scene and he started raising us. He's been doing that to some of us for 40 years. No, some of us just a little slow. But don't matter as long as you get tired. Hare and the tortoise prove that, right? Not how fast you are, it's how continually it's grinding. You know, Brother Moat used to call it, he said, that's the way he preached. He said, it's like a cat eating a grinding stone with its tongue. You say, that's impossible. You never did know what he was saying. That's not impossible. Right? Because once that tongue touches that grinding stone, a couple of grains of that grinding stone's coming off. Oh yeah, the tongue's being cut and sure, you ain't going to lick it again for a while. But it's just like the prophet always said about it. If you pray about something, he said maybe a few grains will move today. But he said there's something taking place. Why can't we see in our Christian journey there's something been taking place? Oh, we're waiting on something out there. No, I'm happy where I'm at. I'm satisfied. See, we start out on our simple journey with a tutor training us simple things.
And then he just keeps training us. See, Peter calls it being born again, and then he calls it growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord. The whole Bible. As I said, it's not pointing back, and it's not pointing future. There are some things in the Bible that was past, and there are some things that'll be future. Yes, sir, because it's the Word of God. But the main thing God wants us to see is where we're at right now. You're not going to get any faith off what's coming. Right? You get more faith off of what has already been than you do off of what's coming. Right? But you see, I want to live right where I'm at. Present tense gospel. See why it's been? I wrote it like this. See why it's been for some of us 40 years in our tutoring and our child training? Because God wants to raise His children to be His children. And He may have to tell us no. Brother Branham said, a no from God when I ask Him, He said, it's just as much as it would be if He told me yes. Now, how many of us do it? We ask for something to be removed from us, and it's not immediately gone. Yeah. Was it gone from Paul about his eyesight? But you see, we use Paul about this side, but why not use all of it? He wasn't gone about his eyesight. But he said, Lord, Your grace is sufficient. This year is on me for a reason. But you see, we can take every sickness and try to make it something that's on there for a reason, you know. But, you know, let's don't do everything, okay? See, Jesus didn't even preach the gospel until He was 29 and a half years old. Is that true? But at somewhere around 13, 14 years old, He was straightening out the Pharisees. He didn't wait till He got there to just start talking about the Word. You understand? He was in a growth development. Yet being a child, learning the obedience through the things that He suffered, and being made perfect, He become what? Right. See, we must, in our training, sometimes it's just a little at a time. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a place to where every time you open the Bible, God would just quicken it to you? Or you take and put a tape on, or you read a message or something, and you just turn it on, and God would just quicken it right there. Wouldn't that be a wonderful place? No, I'd raise a bunch of shiftless bums. You say, no, well, okay. But you see, sometimes we read the same thing over and over and over. And all at once, one day, He speaks to us. Well, you know who that? That's your Father. He knows you got need of something, so He quickens that. It may be, as I said, one God when the preacher's preaching on the seals or something. You understand what my point is? See? It comes through what now? How does our growth development come? Through the opening of the Word. Right? Through the opening of the Word. Well, you know who the problem is? There's a bunch of preachers that ain't been getting into the Word and preaching the Word. That's the reason they're looking back and the reason they're looking forward. Because they can't see what's going on. See? The prophet made a statement one day. He said, you can't understand the seals until you understand Daniel's 70 weeks. Did he say that? Well, you know, who wants to know about Daniel's 70 weeks? Huh? See, everybody knows all about the seals, don't know about Daniel's 70 weeks. But I didn't make the statement, the prophet did. He said, you can't understand. Well, he was wrong here, and he was wrong there, and he was, you know, yeah. And if you can correct him, then you must be God. But do you understand my point?
something is going on. The greatest thing that could ever be in the world is the child training of a child up to bring it to an adulthood. And the father's right there with it. Just like I said, the natural father, he's sitting right at that table. And the tutor, he may not even see him, but he's looking and he says, I see some good things about it. Tutor's doing a good job. But you know what your prophet said too? He said that tutor would have to come up, said the Holy Spirit would have to say sometimes, said your children are not acting right. That they're fussing and arguing and complaining and griping. He said they're not acting right. Father said, okay. Now here's one that's hard sometimes for us to understand, isn't it? Brother Branham, in referring to it one day, he said, the tutor said, Father, that I've made your children sick. You want the quotes for these? And he said, they just raised their hands and said, thank you, Lord. Amen. Says, by his stripes I'm healed. Whatever's going on, my father's got a reason for this. Let me find the reason and get out of it. Amen. See, we can quote a lot of things, like the prophet is saying, said, Father, your daughters are cutting their hair and wearing clothes and painting their face. It's not correct. That's where we want to do then. We want to justify something. We want to turn around and say, well, they're not born again. They're not children of God. Your prophet said they were. You better change your attitude. He said, they're my children. The man that got drunk, right? What was his name? Smith or something. Ramsey, in the Hebrew series. Got him some beer and went out and sat down and got drunk. A preacher. God took him off the scene. He said he couldn't let his child mar his name. We don't look at them things. We've got a set of standards in our own minds that we call the Word of God. And we look at others as those standards. If they don't meet them, they're out. But we fail to quote where Brother Brandon would say, your sons and daughters are doing wrong. We want to say the devil's children are the ones doing wrong. Think on these things. Come on, musicians. Think on these things. My whole point, we've been in the most wonderful thing that could ever be is to those that know what's been going on. And for 40 years, I've preached it to you. I've preached child training, tutorship, for 40 years. Trying to get you and me to see something's going on. Don't look back and don't look forward. The things that are past, you can do nothing about it. The future will come because God promised it. He said he won't send a headstone on your merits, right? He said he'll send it because he promised it. Well, but you know what he wants us to do is just let that tutor train us. Let him tutor us. Let the Father tutor us. It's an inside teacher. We don't have an outside teacher. It's an inside teacher, right? We don't have an outside tutor. We do that in the natural world, but we have an inside tutor, which is the Holy Spirit. Let's let him raise us. Let's stand. What we got, brother?
290 in the red book, number 290.
Number 290 in the red book.
I surrender all. Amen. Yeah. All.
to Jesus I surrender all.
What about if you have a need?
I will ever love and trust in His presence daily live.
Do you believe it?
I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Think about it.
Jesus, I surrender all. Plea at His feet I bow. Worldly presence.
Let's just pray that the Lord will take care of it. And let's believe. And let's ask our Heavenly Father to take care of it. All right? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, just come on the scene now and touch our sister. Take away this problem with her eyes, Lord, because we don't want any trouble with that. We believe You. So now You make Yourself manifest in Jesus' name. Just go believe and see. Anybody else that have a need? What about it? Are you growing in grace and knowledge? Is the tutor raising us? Is He blessing us and guiding us? Father, our brother's having trouble. His legs bothering him. We just lay our hands on him because Your word said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We thank You that Your word is true. And Lord, he would believe anything I told him. So how could it be anything that we could fail when I could tell him that You said, by Your stripes He is healed in Jesus' name. Yeah. Remember the one, Lord, that our brother is asking to be prayed for. Him. Just reach down and touch him, our Father, in Jesus' name. You believe? They're all. I surrender all to Thee. Anybody else that have a need? I surrender all. Can you sing that from your heart? Just believe it. Sacred flame, oh, the joy of salvation, glory, glory to His name. I, do you? All, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. Now listen, church. I'm trying my best to get you to see one thing. We've been going through a journey. A Christian journey. You may think nothing's going on. But what will it be when we get over there and those that are back behind us and the ones waiting on us and saying, if you hadn't went through that trials and troubles and tests and things, you'd have never come to the right place. Said, now, look what you went through. But my point is one thing. We don't think we're going through things. But the prophet said the spirit they used back there to give their lives is the spirit you use to just daily overcome. And I've told you over and over. You bring them brothers down here, they couldn't stand it. You say, oh yes, they can. Well, they're not here. They're waiting on you and I. If they're waiting on you and I, then they'll admit it to say, we couldn't have took the pressure. And you did. Just living. day by day as a Christian. You make it to where we just, no. Because day by day, my Father is revealing His Word.
Right.
And it may be a long time sometime between what He reveals to me and He meets me the next time. That's no problem. I just go on. Just keep walking down that line. I don't know what I'm going to preach after I finish this series. But you know what? I'm sure there'll be something. Because I'm not worried about it. See, I've learned to trust my Father. It's what I've always tried to explain, and you can't explain a gift. But I've always tried to explain to you, and you know it. That if I could have the confidence in everything that I have in the basis that God will meet me and give me a message to preach to the people, if I could have that confidence in everything else, we wouldn't be here today. Because I can just say, well, Lord, come and give me a message. And He's never failed me yet. But then I ask Him for healing. I don't get it. I ask Him for you for healing. I don't get it. See, He's child training us. You say, oh, no, that's an excuse. I don't make excuses. I tell the truth. You tell the truth, you don't have to make excuses. Child training. All the way from the time that baby is the new birth, all the way up through, is child training. Think on these things, will you? And just remember, just bless. I think Wade and him's going up to Brother Richards this weekend, so remember them in their travel. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You. We love You. Thank You for Your Word, Lord. Thank You for salvation. Thank You for peace and joy. Thank You for the fact that we can depend upon You, Lord. And I believe something has been going on all through our Christian journey. We don't have to look back, but we look back and see where You led us. We don't have to look to the future because we know You will lead us. But we look at the present tense right now and see You dwelling among us and pleased to dwell there. Just have Your way with us. Reveal that unto us, Lord, in our hearts, that we may see You. Bless each one and guide us, Lord, and let Your love be with us. Forgive our sins, because we don't want any problem. We want to be a child that's raised and tutored correctly. And just let Your light shine in each one of our hearts. Be with the people on the highway. Take care of everybody. Give a safe journey. And for those, Lord, up there with those storms and things, we just ask You to remove all that from us. And we believe You and just lay everything into Your hands to take care of Your little bride around the world. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want a meeting with all of the musicians and all of the song leaders, okay? So if they will stay up here after we get through. Take the name of Jesus with You, child of sorrow and of woe.